Hey, folks, this is Pastor Mike, and you're listening to our Wednesday night Bible study online. We hope you enjoy this, and you can hear more of our sermons and teachings at www.visitbethelchurch.org. God bless you, and have a great day.
All right, Sister Linda. You know, I come out here wanting to be in a good mood, wanting to be nice and cheery and everything else, and Linda Carmichael, my former Sunday school teacher... Y'all didn't know that, did you? Former Sunday school teacher Linda Carmichael brings me the JCPenney catalog. And my wife's going, ooh, where'd you get that? Well, I can tell you where you're going to dig it out of. Get a zoom in on this Mateo potato back there. Okay, we got it. I feel like Jay Leno holding something up here for the camera. Okay, now zoom back out and I'll read what it says. Yeah, you just got it. You'll often find Wendy, her partner Maggie, and daughters elbow deep in paint, clay, or mosaics. Even as babies, the girls toddled around in diapers covered in paint, said Wendy. Came from a long line of artists. I believe that. Which includes Grandma Carolyn visiting her art studio in Granbury, Texas as a favorite outing. A favorite outing. I get it. And like any grandma, this one loves to bake pottery, that is. So that's Wendy with her mom, Carolyn, daughters, Raven and Clover, and partner, Maggie. They're partners. Yeah. Thanks, Linda Carmichael. That's the world we live in. Amen. There's a better one coming. Amen. I was reading something today in the Bible, and tell you what, if you're out there and you're an angel and you're not on God's side, it stinks to be you, because I know what's coming down the road for all the devils, all the evil angels, the Bible calls them, and for the devil himself. I know what's coming down the road. Amen. Amen. Good to be here tonight. Nice hot spring day. Amen. Hi. Okay. Nice warm spring day. We're going to be in the book of Hebrews. Turn there, please. Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to let the Word of God enlighten our minds, illuminate our minds. Okay. Our minds are dark. Amen. Need a light shined in there. Need a light shining in our soul. And so we'll need some light from the Bible to shine in our soul tonight. And I'm going to move forward with what I had wanted to start last week. And we're going to follow the scriptures. We're going to see what the scriptures has to say. And I cannot get in trouble if I just say the script. Well, with most people, I cannot get in trouble if I just say what the scripture says. I'm finding out there's people out there don't even like the Bible. And say they're saved, say they're spirit-filled, and they don't even like the Word of God. And can you imagine that? And so anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. I hope you've had a good day. And if not, I hope the day gets better before you go to bed tonight. Amen? Won't you ask God to give you one of those, give you a good night's sleep tonight? Yes, Sister Rose. Absolutely. Pray for Sister Rose. I mean, she wants to be back on her feet really bad. She's got furniture to move around the house. And don't she, Joe? Amen. So pray for her. Pray for Brother Keith Crum. Had to go in the hospital. From what I heard, the shrinkage of the tumor tore like a little hole in his esophagus. So they went in and put a stent in there today. And, of course, I walked in the room this morning. He's always got good spirits about him. I mean, he's a great guy. And so anyway, we prayed for him. Anyway, that went well. And so there's encouragement there. So just continue. And he you know what he did? He apologized for not coming to church Sunday. He said, man, I just felt so bad. And I'm going, here's a guy who didn't go to church for 50 years, never thought a day about it. Now you get saved and get right with God, and all of a sudden you just know where you're supposed to be on Sunday. Amen? Amen. Amen. That's a good thing right there. So you pray for him, all right, and pray for their family. And that God will walk them through this. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. It's good to be with you tonight. Call upon the name of the Lord, okay? I mean that. Call upon the name of the Lord. He's here. His Bible is open. His Spirit is here. And you listen to what he has to say. Heavenly Father, it's good for us to be in this place tonight. Lord, Father, we could have been home sitting watching ball games, watching TV, Lord, working in a garden. Could have been doing all kinds of things tonight. Lord, we decided to come to the house of the Lord tonight and visit with one another, fellowship with believers, born-again people. God, we just need that fellowship. Lord, we just don't want to be around the world anymore. It's bad. It's nasty out there. And we just want to come into your house and be with people that love us and people that we can love back. And we just want to be around this book tonight. And I pray, Heavenly Father, God, Lord, that you would guide us in our thoughts. And Lord, let the Spirit lead us. Let the Spirit direct the teaching tonight, Lord, that it'll get me out of the way. And it'll just be the Scripture talking to us, the Scripture dealing with us. Lord, help us, dear God, as we think about the Bible, Lord, to think the way the Bible is written and to use words and to use ideas that come from the Scriptures, the pure words, God, rather than our modifications of them. And so, God, Lord, just help us understand this book tonight. We thank you, Lord, for making it so plain to us and so easy to read. And Lord, Father, we just decided that man doesn't really need to change it. This needs to change man. And we just ask you, God, Lord, that you would just change our hearts tonight. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, he's not saying that you leave doctrine. Okay? Because doctrine is important. If you ain't got your doctrine right, you ain't got it right. Amen? Doctrine is what lays out the foundation and the principles for how a man goes from this world into heaven. And it matters. It matters what is believed. It matters what is taught. You can't just have, the way they set up these Christian concerts is that they'll put out 4 or 5 bands on the stage and they'll play a bunch of music, loud music. They have, 30, 40,000 teenagers there all, woo, this and that and the other, and say they're all saved because they went to a concert. And they say, well, it doesn't matter what everybody believes as long as they just praise God. Well, it does. God does not want the praise of somebody that doesn't believe him. Okay? If we're to worship God, we're to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so he wants truth out of his followers. He wants truth out of his people. And he gives a spirit of understanding doctrine. Who is he going to teach in these days? We talked about that last week. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. How many of you would like to be perfect one of these days? Say amen. 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 I ain't there. I am so not there. Okay? I am not perfect. I would like to be perfect one of these days, but I can tell you, as long as I'm carrying this around with me, it ain't going to happen. Okay? It is not going to happen. But I want to go on unto perfection. That's the goal that I have. That's what I've got in mind. That's where I want to be. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. Now he's going to lay something out for you in verse 4. And we're actually going to go from verse 4, and we're not going to stop the way some people want to stop in verse 6. We're going to keep going and kind of finish out this thought. He says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. Now, you should say amen to the word of God. That's what God said. Okay? He's giving us his doctrine. And then it's interesting, if you keep reading, he's going to help you understand that doctrine. He's going to help you understand this concept. He's going to give you illustrations in your mind so that you can visualize. And that's really one of the neat things that I have found about the Bible, is that God doesn't just write it out and then leave it up to us to try to figure it out. He's always drawing a picture in the Bible of what he means and how he means it and what he's doing. He's always giving us something to look at in the scriptures to explain his word. And I understand that I have a huge responsibility tonight to make sure that I'm not handling the word of God deceitfully. Somebody sent me an email, sent it to me last night, and I said, resend it this morning so I have a chance to look at it. And it was some YouTube videos, and if I watched everybody's YouTube videos, I'd be sitting watching YouTube videos all day long. But this one caught my attention. And it was a woman now sitting there teaching Bible lessons. Okay? That's strike one. Okay? I ain't got anything against godly women. Say amen to that. I do not have anything against godly women. Okay? But she had taken on this role of being this teacher. And she was number one, she had the wrong Bible. So she was not impressing me with her knowledge. Okay? But then she started in on this stuff about how the Holy, that once I started listening to it, I'm just going. She started teaching this stuff about how she's going to reveal the Holy Ghost to everybody. I'm going to reveal the Holy Ghost to everybody. I'm going to tell you who she is. She said, I'm going to teach you who the Holy Ghost is and who she is and what her role is. And I'm going, you got my attention. And she starts in on this stuff. And you know what? She started handling that. I could tell. I caught her when she started doing it. She started handling the Word of God deceitfully. And she began to twist Scripture. And she was trying to tell everybody that God the Father and the woman, the Holy Ghost, made it in heaven and made Jesus. And she had about 12,000 views of this video. Okay? That's not bad. She had taught people this doctrine. And I could tell she was setting everybody up. You can just listen to them. Because they start out now. And I've heard Copeland do the same thing. I heard all these people do the same thing. They always tell you, now, don't let the theologians and the traditions of the church steer you wrong. That's a sign right there. It's not the sign, but it's a sign that somebody is fixing to try to unhook you from 2,000 years of guys that believe the Bible and are trying to teach it straight. She's trying to set you up by saying, don't believe whatever. All the churches are wrong. That's what Joe Smith said. Joe Smith said it. And who's the guy that started J-Dubs? Huh? Russell? He said, everybody's wrong. They've all got it wrong, and I'm going to set it straight. And that's what she was doing. She started setting this stuff up now. Everybody's got it wrong now. And you need to listen to this, because God hooked up with his Shekinah, with his Holy Spirit, and that's a woman. And they came together and made Jesus. And I'm going, uh-uh. That's handling the Word of God deceitfully. And it's not allowed. And we have a big responsibility concerning that. Can I hear you say amen? So let's look at the Scripture. He lays it out, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good Word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away. I want you to hold your place right there. And I want you to put your finger on the phrase fall away. And I want you to do like this. Okay, go backwards in your Bible, okay, or if you're from Fredericktown, it's backwards. Go backwards, okay, to 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. Let me give you, if you just want to write this down, whether you're sitting here tonight or you're sitting at home or wherever it is, I would just look at things in the Bible that fall. Okay? Now, I don't mean like when they fell down before Jesus and worshiped him. I'm not talking about that kind of fall. Okay? I'm talking about things that Jericho fell. Babylon falls. Lucifer fell. How art thou fallen from heaven? Dagon fell. Okay? The Roman soldiers fell backwards as dead men when Jesus said, I am he. Look at things that fall. Remember Eli in the days of Samuel when he heard the ark of God had been taken out of the way. Had been taken away. He fell backward. Okay? That was a falling away. That was a picture of the falling away that's taking place. Okay? So I want you to watch this. Is there, doctrinally, according to Scripture, is there going to be a falling away? Well, I'll tell you something. Bethel Church, Lighthouse Trails Research, there's other ministries out there that are trying to sound the alarm to everybody and tell people, look, the way the denominations used to be 50 years ago, that's not how they are now. There's something bad happening. There's a bad spirit moving in and out of churches. There's bad Bibles out there. There's bad, nasty occult practices moving into the churches. And just because it's got a big cross about 40 feet tall sticking out on the top of their church, that doesn't mean anything. That does not mean that they're right. And people are being deceived right and left. People who sat in a church are being deceived right and left. Because they've walked away from the foundational principles and something else has moved in, and I'm going to show you what that is in a minute. And you're not exempt from it either.
Right.
You know, this is not the day of rest yet. This is the day of work. And we ought to be working, and I'm going to tell you, to stay right with God, it takes work. It takes effort on your part. It takes a desire. And if you don't want to do the effort, it means you don't have the desire to do the effort. Okay? Now I'm just going to lay it out that way to you tonight. I'm telling you, there's going to fall away first, and you don't have to be part of it. You do not have to be part of it. Say amen to that.
Amen.
If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. This is why I'm convinced that in 2 Thessalonians, once this event takes place, as far as the Gentile world, I think God's done. That's what I think. I'm not saying this is thus saith the Lord, but I see some things. I see it when the door of the ark gets shut. I don't see God saying, well, okay, maybe a few more. Or if you happen to hang on to the outside of the ark the whole time, then I'll let you, then, you know, you'll be okay at the end of it. I don't see that in the Scriptures. I think at some point God just says, I've had it. It's enough.
Right. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And I want to tell you something. Those of you who want to mock God with your lifestyles and your little private sins and everything else, you say, well, God will forgive me, God will forgive me, God will forgive me, God will forgive me, God will forgive me. And I want to tell you something. You know what happens? At some point, you just quit even repenting of what you're doing wrong and just assume that God's going to forgive you.
Yeah.
You're who I'm preaching to tonight. Okay? I want to tell you how you're in danger. Because at some point, if they shall fall away, it is impossible to renew them again under repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now he says for. That word for means that he's linking these ideas together. And I want you to look at the illustration that the Apostle Paul here in the book of Hebrews draws for us. And we're going to go to several places in the Bible. First of all, he said, for the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed receiveth blessing from God. Everybody, stop right here. Let's get this. Okay? Does God make it rain on the earth?
Amen.
And why does God make it rain on the earth? So that everything that's planted in the ground can do what? Grow. Okay? Now I watched Sterling, early spring. Okay? The wrong kind of grass aggravates this man. Okay? If it ain't the right kind of grass, he don't want it in his yard. So he's out there with a thing going, shh. I forgot, what was it you was killing off out there? Everything. Well, that's how it turned out in some places. Okay? Big brown patches laying out there. No, he did pretty. There's some kind of grass we just don't like. Okay? How many of you ever had a garden? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I planted a garden one year, and I was proud of myself. Man, I tilled it up, and I hoed it, and I got the lines out and the piles and everything. I had stuff all over the place. I had so many tomato plants. I mean, I didn't know what to do with myself. I was proud of myself. And I didn't pay any attention to it for a while and looked out there and it was just looked like the grass, just green. And I went, how in the world did that happen? So I got up there with a hoe and I started hoeing it up. And you know what? I started doing this. Whew. I started breathing hard. And I looked and I had a place about this big that I'd hoed up. And while I'm out there, God's dealing with me and said, Mike, this is you. This is you. If you're not careful, you're going to come out here this garden 3 weeks from now. You're not going to be able to find your radishes. You're not going to be able to find your beans. You're not going to be able to find your tomatoes. You won't be able to find your cucumbers. You just don't tend to this long enough. And all this stuff that you're trying to tear up out of the ground will take over this garden and you'll get nothing out of it. And I want you to get this. Fruit bearing, and I don't care what kind it is in the scriptures, is always a picture of eternal life. If you're not saved, you will not bear the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all those things. If you're not saved, fruit bearing is the evidence that a person is saved. You don't believe that? When Jesus looked at the tree that bore no fruit, what happened? He cursed it. And then they came and did what with it, Jared? Cut it down, and then they did what with it? They threw it in the fire. Fruit bearing is one of those essential ideas that when you're looking through the scripture, you're looking, I don't care if it's a woman giving birth, or a tree, or a vine, or a plant, or whatever. You're looking for fruit bearing. Does everybody follow me so far? Okay? And I'm trying to stick with the very analogy that Paul has given here in Hebrews. I want us to understand this, and I think I just barely understand it. I don't know that I really understand it the way it really is in the scripture. But I'm trying my best here to pull in what the Apostle Paul and what the Bible is connecting it with. So we understand that God causes it to rain all over the earth. And because of that rain, notice the language here. The earth drinks in the rain. Okay, the earth drinks in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. Herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed. That means that somebody went out and deliberately planted certain things. Okay, whether it was potatoes or whether it was carrots or herbs, like he said, spices or lettuce or whatever it is. You like greens? I like greens. I didn't used to like greens when I was a kid, but I'm old now. I like greens and black-eyed peas and butter beans. I like that stuff, okay? But you deliberately go out and plant that stuff, and you dress that garden, which means you work that garden. You tend to that garden. You take care of that garden. And water, you're hoping that water comes down from heaven, that God showers blessing on that garden. But why, all the time, now watch this, all the time that water's coming down from heaven, what else is it watering? And you think about that. Now verse 8, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected. I have yet to see somebody sit down with a bacon, lettuce, and thorn sandwich.
Yeah.
Amen? I have yet to see that. You don't eat thorns. There's no good to us whatsoever. They serve no nutritional value to mankind whatsoever. And as long as thorns and briars come up in your garden, your garden's in danger. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto what? Cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now, I want you to hold on. Take your Bible and turn all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, okay? Let's use the Bible now to direct us and give us wisdom, okay? So look at this. Because of the sin of Adam and Eve, here's what God said. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, and for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And I want to tell you something. We living up here close to St. Louis, we've kind of gotten away from that. I don't know if there's any farmers in this church. Okay? But you go back a long time ago, and I tell you what, the old timers, they knew exactly what that meant. That meant, and if you've ever planted a garden, ever tried to have anything nice in your yard, you know that it takes work. And God's curse meant exactly what it said. The man who wanted to eat had to sweat for it. And I'll tell you, that applies in just about any kind of labor or just about any kind of work. I think I have the best job in the world, but I labor at it. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's grieving. Sometimes I come home just tired and this and stressed and everything like that. And it is stressful and it has its aches and everything like that. But that's what we have to do in order if we're going to eat and be blessed. That's what we have to do. And everybody's got to do it. Say, man, if you want bread, go to work. And bread is the fruit of that of your harvest. It's the turnout of what it is that you planted in the ground. I don't see anybody taking wheat stalks and going, look pretty good, okay? Although I think they left some of the stalk on some of that bread, amen? Okay? The bread is the fruit of the garden that Adam was to till and to take care of. And God said, you want that fruit? Then I'm going to curse this ground with thorns. You try to keep them out of there. Natural byproduct of our own sin and our own transgression was thorns. Now everybody take your Bible, turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Whenever somebody asks me questions like this that are related to this topic, I tell them, go read Mark chapter 4. There's your answer right there. Okay? We have the parable of the seed and the sower. And that's the illustration that Paul is alluding to here. Okay? He's talking about the earth drinking in the rain and so on and so on. And he said, you know, that the garden is supposed to bring forth herbs and the person worked it. But he said, that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is cursed. Okay? So look at what is told here in Mark chapter 4. I want us to pick it up in verse 14. The sower soweth the word. Okay? So this is a person. This is the word of God going out into the world. Now, there are four groups of people here. Group number one. These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. How many of you know some wayside people? Say amen. Amen. You hand them a tract, and just as soon as you got your back turned, they've tossed it in the trash, or they just left it laying somewhere. They have no interest in what you've got to say whatsoever. You hand them DVDs. You try to talk to them, try to give them scripture, and the devil is just sitting there on their shoulder waiting for you to drop some seed in their life, and he'll come down and gobble it up right away, and there's nothing left of it. Those people are going to die and go to hell. You know why? The seed did not go in the ground. It produced no fruit. Those people are dying and going to hell. Everybody agree with me? Say amen. Okay? So that's group number one. That's wayside people. Those people will come to church in a funeral or for Easter, but that's about it. They won't show up any other time of the year. They're not coming. Verse 16, group number two. These are they likewise which are sown on what kind of ground? Stony. How many of you know people it's sitting in church every Sunday and just stubborn as an old mule, hard-hearted. Quit looking at somebody in here. Amen. Okay? You know somebody that's stubborn, hard-hearted. They say, well, I don't care what the Bible says. I think it's like this. And I've met people like that. They want to sit in church and act like they're all Christian and everything like that. And when you start laying it down, on the line how they're supposed to be and how this thing's supposed to be in their life and how they're supposed to live according to the Word of God, they rebel. They get mad at you. They throw a big fit. They say, we need to get us another preacher in here. I don't like his kind of preaching. I don't like what he's preaching. We don't like that stuff. And they want to look like they're Christians. And they sit and listen to preaching, and the word is going at them, and they might even be church members as far as being on the membership roll. But the word does not take root in their life because of their own stubbornness. And look at what happens. Who, when they heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. Oh, I just like that preacher. I like the way he does. And then as soon as he preaches something that they don't like, Verse 17, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, for what sake? You start preaching this Bible and you preach this Bible straight, they'll buck and rebel against that, and they'll snort against that, and they'll say, I'm not having that. That ain't the kind of preaching that was back in the Old Testament, or that was back in the old days. We don't believe that. We need to get us a woman preacher in here that's got some fire in her. And they won't have anything to do with it. And persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately they're offended. I've met those people. Tried to pastor those people. Okay? What happens to those that have stony ground? When the sun comes, he illustrated it earlier. In verse 6, when the sun was up, it was scorched because it had no root and withered away. Did it produce any fruit? Those people do not go to heaven. They can be church members. They can be tithers. They can sit on the committees, on the boards. They can even, watch this now, they can even stand behind the pulpits and deliver sermons. But if the Word of God is not allowed to sink into their life and cause an effective change in their life, they're not going to heaven.
Right.
Amen. And call them whatever you want to. Okay? Now watch this. This group right here, let's go back now and look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it was dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is... Let me ask you a question. Do thorns and briars need the same rainwater to grow as everything else? Sure they do. So you know what? You've got people sitting in churches all over the place, in America, England, Africa, doesn't matter. They're sitting in churches. They got stony ground in their life. And by the way, God has a remedy for that one too, doesn't he? What does he say? Break up the fallow ground. And I just caught that one day where, you know, the Bible says they shall beat their swords into plowshares. And I just think that that's a good idea for a pastor every now and then to get a sword out, put it in the fire, get it real good and hot, beat it into a plowshare, and start plowing up some ground in people's lives. Let the Word of God break up some fallow ground in people's lives. Somebody say amen. I've had people that, and I'm not being critical. Everybody's got their style of preaching. They like what I say when I'm up behind the camera. They don't like sometimes how I deliver messages down there. They said, you're too mean. I've had somebody say, I'm pretty sure you're bipolar. I did. A guy wrote me, he said, I think you're bipolar. Whew. You know what I'm doing? And I'm just dead honest. Sometimes my affect, my character, has to be as an adamant stone. And it has to be hard, and it has to be rough, and it has to be mean, because you know as well as I do that when we're dealing with children, you can't talk nice to them all the time and have them do right. It doesn't work.
Right.
And I'll try nice guy at first with my children. Come on now. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Come on. Now. Now! That makes me bipolar. I did. I went from north to south in 5 minutes. Okay? And I'm just telling you that every now and then the preaching that comes out of the pulpits has got to be a plowshare breaking up hard, fallow, stony ground in people's lives, because that pastor's got hopes that maybe something that he says one of these days will bear some fruit in your life. He's not just trying to be ignorant and cruel and mean and run people off. He is a husbandman over a farm, and he's got hope that one of these days the crops will come in. Okay? But the same water that watered the good herbs watered the thorns. They're sitting in the churches. Now let's get to the next group here. So you see what I'm saying. Mark chapter 4, verse 18. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word. And I want you to underline this in your Bible. Number one, cares of this world. You're more worried about ball games. You're more worried about school functions. You're more worried about family reunions. You're more worried about race cars. You're more worried about hunting and fishing and going shopping and doing everything else in the world. You've got way too many cares in the world to be a Christian. You write that down. You just underline that in your Bible. The cares of this world. He's telling you what the thorns are. So number one, cares of this world. Number two, the deceitfulness of riches. I like the way that's put. Money's a liar. I don't care what Creflo Dollar Bill says. I don't care what any of them say. Salvation does not equal money. Godliness is not gain. Or excuse me, gain is not godliness. I said that backwards, didn't I? Or backwards. Gain is not godliness. Okay? And I'm sick of that stuff. I'm going to go against it every chance I get. The deceitfulness of riches, and look at here, the lust of other things. How many of y'all know what that is without saying it out loud? And everybody's got a pile of it in one form or another. Whether it's women, men, money, bass boats, shoes, new houses. Okay? I won't say who it was because they might be listening, but I know somebody that I've known since a child, and she had to have a new house about every 5 or 6 years. New house. No sooner than her husband got one built, she'd say, well, I'm done with this. Build me another one, honey. He'd go build her another house. Okay? Lust of other things. Look what happens. Entering in, choke the what? And it becometh what? Those people are not going to heaven. They're not going. So let's stop right here. Let's go back now with that analogy. Here we have three groups so far. One of them, they're just hellbound. Okay? AC/DC, highway to hell. They're going. Okay? The other two groups are church people.
Yeah. Right.
They're church people. So you look at this. Verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift. Notice that in verse 7, the earth which drinketh in the rain. He's drawing your attention to this analogy. They tasted of the heavenly gift. That's drinking in the rain. Okay? Tasted of the heavenly gift. And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of... See, those thorny ground people tasted the good word of God. Didn't they? They took it in. But something happened to them. Now, I'm just going to draw out a simple fact for you. From verse 4 to verse 6. Notice it does not say, it does not use the word saved or salvation. It does not use that word. And you guys know me well enough to know, and or should be learning about me by now, that I'm going to use Bible language. Okay? And I'm not going to use Bible language where there is no Bible language. But it is telling you, based upon verse 7, 8, and all this, and we see it here in Mark chapter 4, we have the parable given to us that these people, those who have tasted of the heavenly gift and made partakers and tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, they're the ones, they're the stony ground or the thorny ground people that have taken in the seed. They're not going to heaven. Okay? They're not going to heaven. Take your Bibles. Turn to Numbers chapter 33. Numbers chapter 33. You know why I'm preaching this? Number one, I want you to have a solid assurance of your salvation. I want you to know that if you're called in the elect of God, that's who you are. I also want you to know that just because some preacher said, oh, he's saved, he's got eternal security, and that's what our doctor... I want you to know, I wouldn't count on it. Don't let any preacher tell you you're saved.
Yeah.
That is not the preacher's job.
Right.
Preachers will tell people they're saved. In some cases, just innocently, but in some cases, they're just telling them they're saved so they can get them to be church members and get their tithe money in and everything else. I'm telling you, there's some crooks out there standing behind pulpits all over this country. Okay? Don't, if a man tells you you're saved, that does not mean you're saved.
Right.
Man did not call you to be saved. And just because you went down when you was 8 or 9 years old and popped out a little prayer, and they filled out a card on you, and they baptized you and gave you a certificate, and you've got it in the file cabinet somewhere, that does not mean that you have eternal life.
Right.
So I am dead serious on this. Where is the falling away taking place, people? The world's always been the world.
Right.
The wicked has always been the wicked out there. It's always been that way. Where is it now moving into? It's moving into the house of God. That's because a bunch of people sat in church because somebody told them they were saved, or they were hanging on to this, or they were hanging on to that, but they have too many thorns in their life, or they got stony ground in their life. They're going to bust hell wide open. They're going to fall away. They're going to go get a mark on their right hand or forehead.
Yeah.
Mark it down. Okay? Numbers chapter 33. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Listen, I love you, and I want you to know the truth tonight. Okay? I want you to know the truth tonight. In fact, I'm wasting time but trying to find it in my Bible and trying to think at the same time. I got it written down here. Numbers 33:55. God said, "But if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides." Now here's a picture of a lost man. And God has a wonderful place for him. It's called salvation. It's called being in God's kingdom, God's happy family. Okay? And I tell you, I've seen people, they'll come down here, and boy, I mean, they'll cry, and they'll moan, and they'll carry on at the altar, and boy, they just feel like, really, boy, I got it right with God, and walk out and be right back in it again. Can I tell you that probably, more than likely, they had no intention of actually living the life. What they wanted was, they wanted to be guilt-free for about a weekend. Okay? And the thorns that were in their life when they came down here were still there and manifested when they left. That is not Bible salvation. Can I get an amen out of somebody? That is not Bible salvation. And I'm going to tell you something. So a guy wants to come, hey, I want to get right with God. I want to do this. I want to do that. Okay? And being a Christian and being saved is a lifestyle.
Right.
It is a life way. You cannot remain in the old habits and the old sins and have it in your mind that you can live however you want to and still be a Christian and still be born. It doesn't work that way. And anybody that will tell you that, they're lying through their teeth. They're not giving you the real gospel. Now, you know me. I stand about 4,857 miles away from any kind of works salvation. But I'm telling you, salvation is a lifestyle, especially if God allows you to live after you say, "God, save me."
Yeah.
Now, if you're on your deathbed, you ain't got a whole lot to worry about. Amen? But if you plan on living 30, 40, 50 years past when you first come down there, then you might ought to plan on living differently.
That's right.
Yeah. And so God had instructed Joshua, when you go in there, kill them all. They're all giants. By the way, if this church, you need to watch these two videos I made on giants.
Amen.
I'm not kidding you. You got to watch them. Amen. Don't make me come out here and teach it to you, because I will. I'm talking 4 hours so far, a straight Bible doctrine. The giants were the only reason why God sent Israel into that land.
Yes.
You go read it. It was the only reason why he put them in there. Okay? But anyway, somebody's going to write me an email. I know they are. But anyway, what I'm telling you is, God told Joshua, go in there and get rid of them. And he told them, he said, if you let them remain, guess what's going to happen? They're going to be thorns. Now, what is it that you know about a garden? If you do not get rid of everything in that garden that ought not going to be there, you might till that ground up and you might make it all look nice and brown and everything else. What happens 2 weeks from now when the rains start coming down? You're going to find all kinds of things that you left in there that you didn't want in there. So you know what you do as a true child of God? You get your plow shear out and go back out to the garden and go to work. And you work it up that week. And go back the next week and look around, see if there's any more. Get your plowshare out, go out, work in that garden some more. And you work that garden, and you work that garden, and you work that garden, you work that garden until when? Until harvest time, till the fruit comes in. Listen, we'll work till Jesus comes, we'll work. See, that's what that song means. And most people got it in their mind, salvation. Well, I prayed the prayer. Now, I'm just going to come to church about every two or three Sundays. Put a little money in the plate. Get my name on the membership roll. Maybe they might even name a building after me when I'm dead and gone. But other than that, I'm not going to change anything. Well, good grief. That's not how it really is. I mean, that's just all under the law stuff. I don't have to worry about that stuff anymore. Bunch of phony baloney nonsense. Let me hear you say amen. That those which you let remain of them shall be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your sides and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. More of it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. Did you hear what God said?
Yes.
You listen to the word of God. You listen to the whole counsel of God. Okay? Joshua chapter 23 verse 13. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of those nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your side, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. Did you hear what God said? And I'm telling you right now that it is dangerous for you to enter into any denomination, any church, any doctrinal statement that will tell you, you pray the prayer, fill out the card, get in the water, join the church, you're eternally secure, you'll never, don't have to worry about anything. That's dangerous.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to tell you the word of God to warn you that there's going to be people right in the church pew to hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, you ought to amen that. Because you know they're out there. You know that deacon boards and pulpits all across this country are full of people that are going to die and go to hell. And you know it. And it better not happen in this church. We better not have one man that sits on the board of this church that's lost and dying and going to hell. Better not happen. Better not have a pastor standing behind this pulpit that's a dead man going to hell. Better not happen. Proverbs 24, turn your Bibles there. Proverbs 24. I'm just your cheerleader tonight. I'm your coach. Okay? They should have me coach the St. Louis Blues. When's their next game? Thursday? They should call me up there because I got a few words. I had not been following hockey this much, but I'm going to tell you, they're in trouble. Okay? They ought to have me go up there, and instead of being Mr. Nice Guy, put this where it belongs. Amen? I always tell people, look, I'm behind you all the way.
Right.
And I am. I love you. I love my people. I love this church. I love my family. I love my wife. I love my children. And I'm going to be Mr. Nice Guy for a while, but if I have to turn mean, I will. You know why? Because God's had turned mean on me a few times.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's been the only thing that'll work with me. Okay? Proverbs 24, verse 30. I went by the field of the who? Slothful. You know what that is? That's all the people that the government wants to give money to.
Yeah.
Amen.
I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. Lo, it was all grown over with thorns and nettles, had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof. Well, you know what a wall is always a picture of in the Bible? Salvation. Okay? It's always a picture. And if there's a broken wall or no wall, guess who's going to come in?
Yeah.
The thieves and the robbers and the murderers. Okay? The stone wall thereof was broken down. And look at what Solomon said. Then I saw and considered it well and looked upon it and received instruction. And all he was doing was looking at what used to be a vineyard. And now it was a vineyard that could bear no fruit. Why? Because the thorns. And see, the rain came down. It was watered. It had tasted. But it could bear no fruit. Because the slothful, lazy husbandman wouldn't go out and take care of business. and now he has nothing. Are you getting my drift? Because I'm laying it on pretty thick. And what this preacher is telling you is not anything that I have not learned from years of hard experience. And I'm here to tell you that if you, I am one of those that at 9 years old, I went down to an altar, I prayed a prayer, they said I was saved, I got baptized right there, they made me be last because I had poison ivy. I had to go last. Okay? I was eat up with poison ivy. Okay? And they told me I was saved. That does not mean that I'm saved.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I have found myself at times with God begging for my life.
Amen.
And realized that it takes work.
Yes.
But when you first start out, you look at that and you think, there's just too much here. I can't do it. Just start working. Go out the next day. Start working again. You know what happens over time? You listen to this preacher. There's a little bit of wisdom here. You know what happens over time? The more you work that garden, you know what you find out? That the closer to harvest time you get, the less you have to work. Because you know what? You get ahead of it. How many of you know that? It does get better. It does get better. And at some point, you go out and you're diligent. See, if you read the Bible, you'll see that Christian life is diligence. Staying with it. Staying with it. That's why all those places in the Bible about persevering and stay that he that endureth, that's why all those verses are in there. It's telling you that the one who was saved is the one who did endure and persevere and did all of those things. You see, God gave you salvation as a gift for free. But folks, let's not deny it. We are in the days of labor.
Yeah. Amen.
And it is going to take work on your part. God has His responsibility, and He gives you as a blessing. And who is it in here that works a day's work and says, you know what, I think I did the best I could and I feel pretty good about it? Who was in there, ever had that satisfaction? Say amen. Or done anything? Quilted something? Worked and labored? Lisa sit there when she's making stuff for the babies or she making stuff for people. She's sewing and I come home, that's what she's doing. And how long are you going to do that? Well, till it's done. And she looks at me like, what are you, stupid? Okay. And she does all that, and you know what? When she gets done, she's not handing somebody a gift that she went and pulled off the rack at Walmart.
Right.
She's giving somebody something that means something to them because she worked on this thing, and she did that herself.
Amen.
And there's a satisfaction about that, that just, there's nothing in this world that can give that same amount of satisfaction as knowing that you accomplished something yourself, that
right.
God gave you the ability to do it. When I walk out of that studio sometimes, I feel good knowing that I've done my best that I could possibly do. God has given me a gift to record, to know about the green wall and the cameras and the light. God has given me a gift. But God has never told me, Mike, just stay in your office, I'll make the videos. God's never told me that.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes.
Be like you going home to Chris and Chris, what's for supper? I don't know. I asked God to make it. Well, you guys sit there and see how that works. God appointed you to eat bread.
Amen.
By the sweat of your face. Amen.
Amen.
So you want to go back now to Hebrews chapter 6. And take a wild guess at who falls away. Makes sense now, doesn't it? You want to take a wild guess at who falls away? The lazy ones, the slothful ones. The people who received, took in, tasted, partook, got the seed in them.
They didn't work. They didn't care. They wanted everybody to do everything for them. This is the generation we live in, by the way. This country wants everybody to do. This is why down deep inside we really don't mind illegals coming into our country, because they will do some of these jobs that we think we're too good for. Okay? How many of these politicians get caught with illegal immigrants working in their house? Paying them under the table. How many? How often does that happen, Jim?
Probably a lot.
Because we think we're too good for it. You catching me? We're not. God appointed us to work and to labor and to toil. It takes work to keep sin out of your life. It takes labor to keep sin out of your life. It takes work to get your Bible out and read it. It takes labor to get your Bible out and read it. It takes work to keep your marriage together. It takes work to raise your kids. It takes work to have a clean house. Amen? And I'm not just talking about, you know, with no dirty stuff on television. I'm talking about it takes work to have a clean house. Look at the illustrations all around us that God's trying to open our eyes and bring us awareness to. Stop and look at, go out when you leave church tonight, go out and look at your car. Open the door to your car and look in there. And if it's not clean, who's going to do it for you? Well, God will do that for me. God will tell you like your mom and daddy did. That's your mess. You clean it up. God's being a good father that way, isn't he? He's teaching you a lesson. The same lesson that Solomon learned. He said, I got wisdom out of this. That if I want to have a good vineyard, I'm going to have to work it. And if I don't want to fall away, this is what I have to do. God will help me along the way. And it will pay off, I promise you. How many of you know just a little bit more about the Bible tonight than you did before you came? I hope you have. Because God is just really, when I just saw these two things together, I'm going, God, that's it. That's it. He drew the picture for us right there in front of us to show us we don't have to fall away.
Right.
Get your plowshares out. Go to work. Let's stand to our feet. You just take this home and think about it. Meditate on it. Meditated on it all the way out till you get to your car, and then look in your car and go, whew, that's got to be cleaned out. Okay? And I'm not preaching down on anybody. Every now and then, my own mess gets to me. Okay? And then I'll send Alicia a text message. Alicia, will you clean my office this week? I'm really busy. My wife, she loves me so much, she'll take all my stuff and pile it up in the office, in my chair, where I cannot sit down until I do something with it. That's a good wife, amen? I mean, a bad wife would hang it all up for you. That's a bad wife. Again. I'm not even going to preach that tonight, Roy. Oh, my goodness. There's too many people that do that. Okay? Heavenly Father, give us wisdom, Lord. It's what we're asking tonight. Give us wisdom. This word that we have, Lord, it doesn't have to be hard. It does not have to be hard to understand. You drew the pictures for us. Lord, we just need to study it more. Look at the pictures and do like Solomon did. Just look at it and ponder it and think about it and get wisdom from it. And God, Lord, I know for a fact, God, that there was an awful lot of thorns choking out a lot of good things in this guy's life. And God, I thank you, Lord, that every day I work, it's getting a little bit easier. And I thank you for that. Lord, help us, dear God. Help us to not look at the work ahead and say we can't do it. Help us to look beyond that and say we don't have any other choice. Lord, help you people tonight not fall away. And God, we know that you already know who that is. And we know, God, Lord, that it's already settled in heaven. But Lord, Father, give us wisdom. Lord, I would like for everybody sitting in this church, I'd like for everybody that's listening to this tonight, that I'd get to see them in heaven. I'd like for them to be able to see me in heaven. Lord, you've given us work to do. Help us to go to work. We love you and we praise you. We thank you for this book. We pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.
Hello, folks. Pastor Mike here. And sometimes you'll hear me talk about during a sermon or a teaching about being saved or salvation. And some people just don't know what that is. And I just want to share with you from the Bible what it means to be saved. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not here as a pastor or here as part of this church because I'm better than anybody. I'm here because I'm a sinner. I have done things that have violated the laws of God, and I need to be sorry for those. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We all have what's coming to us as a result of our sinfulness and as a result of us breaking God's law. And some people say, well, you know, it says death. Yeah, we're all going to die. But that doesn't necessarily mean hell. The Bible also says the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. See, the Bible teaches, and we teach here in a literal place called hell. We believe in a literal place of joy and peace and eternal life that is in heaven that God gives to those that are saved. But we also believe in eternal hell, a place of everlasting torment to those who reject God's gift of salvation. So we know that we have sinned. We know that the wages of that sin is death. But the Bible says in the same verse, Romans 6:23, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, including me and including you, would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Being saved means being born again and being saved from the wrath of God's judgment upon us, what we deserve, what we have coming as a result of our sinfulness. So the Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I don't know about you, but one of the greatest things, in fact, the greatest thing that has ever happened to Mike Hoggard is the fact that I confessed my sins to God, and God forgave and still does forgive every one of my sins. Romans 10 says it this way. It says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What it means to be saved is that God has cornered you with the result and the things, the effects of your sin in your life. The Holy Spirit is bearing down on your soul right now, and you feel the guilt of Almighty God upon you. And God is trying to make you so that you, just like our parents used to do, God is trying to make you sorry for your sins. We confess those sins to God. We repent of them, which means that we don't want sin to be a part of our life any longer. And we simply ask God, God, you take over the reins in my life and you be the Lord of my life. And you give me the promise of your Holy Spirit in me so that I know that when I die, I'm going to heaven now. And I want you to understand that God offers salvation to you today if you will accept his free gift. Trust in the Lord, repent of your sins. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you watch any of our videos or at some point and God is just dealing with you, you bow your head and you call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and ask God to save you. And God promised in his word, and God has never broken his word, God promised in his word that he would forgive you and that he would save you, and heaven would be your eternal home. I hope and pray that one of these days I see you in heaven and you get to see me in heaven. God bless you. Bye-bye.